some other humping land of
tongue twisters, titty twisters, and purple nurples.
It's the gangsters humping land of.
There's some sweet tea in the fridge if y'all are thirsty.
It's the sandal wearing land of. It's the garbage raping land of.
Discarded giant pubic hair.
The suffering of tiny baby cows.
The girthy wang member of your mother.
It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of.
Okay. Are you live?
Live.
Lively. Are you ready?
Live and in action.
Five's a hand jive. Okay.
Oh, not that kind of hand jive. Sorry.
I don't think the people listening to the podcast can see your jerk-off motion that you just did.
Well, that's their loss.
True.
Yeah, right. I agree. They should have felt it, though. They probably got a small tingling in their pants.
I'm pretty sure everyone in the world did just now.
Probably. Past, present, and future.
And
okay, are you ready, Nick and Mel, for Detective 3?
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But
yes, I'm fucking ready.
I'm going to plunge face first into it anyway, ready or not.
I think the subtitle to this chapter or this addition to Nick's story is called, Did This Whole Chapter Just Take Place in the Fucking Alleyway?
That's entirely possible.
Excellent.
Time will tell whether or not it actually did.
I can only hope.
So, I'm going to go back and recap a little bit of Mel's story, or addition to the story. Damn. I was trying to tell the two smitten kittens that I'd seen something in the alley. Look here. I definitely see something in the alley. Dick, it's nice to see you, but I'm going to have to excuse myself with this comely young woman for about 4 minutes. Hold tight, Buster. Old Frankie Flaccidface says he scooped Carmen into his good right arm and used his shined-up Oxford to pull the busted door closed behind him. Damn. I said to no one except my liquor bottle and the mangy gray cat that had sidled up next to me and started rubbing his flea-ridden coat all over my slick new slacks. I'm going to have to go figure this out for myself. And I headed into a murky, piss-stinking alley.
Damn.
That's where it left off.
I am a good writer. Yeah.
Well done, Mel.
Hell yeah.
Poetry.
Good job, person who wrote that.
Good job, mystery author. Who is
mystery
Mel?
Mystery author. Yeah.
All right. Now I'm going to start. Fine. Let the two lovebirds chirp. I pulled out a smoke out of my jacket pocket, slipped it between my lips, and took a swig of that sweet scissor we all know and love. I'm hot on the trail now, and I can't let my stooly friend and some dame who are desperate for a little of the old slip and slide get in my way. Let the kids have their fun. I've got detectivizing to do. Another squig. Glorious Babylon, that piss tastes good. As the juice slid down my throat, the sludge developing in my heart alerted me to the fact that I didn't light my cigarette. The doc told me that I was going to die 10 years ago due to my rampant tremors, smoking, alcoholism, night sweats, day sweats, butt sweats, hog sweats, limp peener, blah, blah, blah. But I told the duck he was quacking up the wrong bush. I lit my chair root and advanced down the alley, heels scraping against the gravel, the cool, reassuring steel of Verletta in my right hand, and the clammy, flaccid feel of my gypsy doodle in my left.
Gypsy doodle?
Yeah, that's his pet name for his...
Excellent. Makes total sense.
I've always loved the feel of this gun. I reminisced. The .38 had been given to me on my 5th birthday by my great-aunt Millicent. The poor old broad with saggy blouse knockers had forgotten to tell anyone she'd loaded the gun. Grinning as big as a cat in a yarn factory, I pulled the beautiful piece out to play with it and shot the gal right in the neck. Aunt Millie managed to gurgle out the magnificent weapon's name, Verletta, before succumbing to what I assumed to be the vapors.
Damn.
Silly. It's a natural assumption, totally. Silly women in their inherent weak constitutions. Even the most basic flatfoot knows the only proper way to heal from a gunshot wound is another gunshot wound in the same hole.
That's the only way to stop the bleeding. Holy shit.
Dames. Yeah. A grating meow from that flea-riddled cat a few feet away brought me back to the present. The cat stared at me like my priest did after confession. Squinty yellow eyes mixed with fear and hatred. Another small mew, and it sprinted off after a rat. Grabbed it mid-jump and sinked its razor teeth into the critter's throat. Oddly, that's the same thing my priest did after I told him about how many Johnnies I've laid low.
Just like a Catholic.
Huh. Perhaps the cat and my priest are twin brothers. Or maybe they went to the same priesthood church school thing when they were younger. Or perhaps the priest and the cat are the same person, and I've been confessing my sins to the cat all these years. Damn, I need a drink. A grating meow from that flea-riddled gray cat a few feet away brought me back to the present. The cat stared at me like my priest. Wait, didn't this just happen? Was that a glitch in the Matrix? I knew I shouldn't have trusted that kooky fella in the black leather trench coat who said he could unlock my mind with a red pill. Damn, I really need a drink. I opened one of the emergency bottles of mash I kept in my coat and finished it to the last drop, reveling in its ability to bring the sanity back to me. Fortunately, this time, the phantom feline disappeared as I lumbered back down the alley. I passed a homeless fella laying on the ground begging for a handout, a drink, a smoke, spare change, anything, he pleaded. Sorry, pal. I wish I could help, but I've got nothing, I explained while lighting a fresh smoke and pouring two fingers of velvet into a snifter I had just cleaned with a crisp 20. Goddamn drunk, slurred the man as he urinated into his trousers. Listen, pal, I'm not a drunk. I'm functional alcoholics. As a sign of mutual respect, I let loose 8 gallons of my own piss into my own trousers, naturally saving the remaining 8 from my flask.
He has a 16-gallon bladder. He's like a horse or a camel.
And I'm assuming that's how alcoholics communicate with one another, right?
With gallons of piss?
They just like urinate into their trousers, and depending on which way they do it, that's how they talk.
Wait, and whoever has the most wins? He's King Hobo?
You're going to have to ask the hobo. I don't know. I continued walking, stumbling. Yes, I continued wumbling down the alley.
You killed Nick. Oh my God.
I'm dead.
Sorry, Nick. Near the back end, I came across a large, beat-up, reeking dumpster filled to the brim with human refuse, much like my butthole after I passed out on the streets of Jersey for a few hours last year.
Really, that's everyone that ends up in Jersey.
I'm trying to keep it real. Essentially. Beside the dumpster lay an old leather-bound chest with gilded corners and a placard on the lid bearing a carving of a lion's head. Something inside my mind screamed at me to turn and walk the other way, to do anything but open the chest. A long, cool drink of whiskey shut that fucking voice right up. I opened the chest and everything went black, much like my priest. As I felt it...
Just like the Catholic Church.
Indeed.
As I fell to the ground, my last thought was of how, after being a pasty white Irish Catholic man for his entire life, my priest literally went black.
Once you go black, you never go back, priest.
It's true. I walked up to him once when he was taking a poop to ask him about the switch. He covered his scat in litter and then started doing that weird thing where cats scratch the sidewalls of the litter box, and then they scratch the air for some reason. And then he climbed out of his man-sized box and turned around and went back in to scratch at it and cover his brand new little brown children some more.
Wait, so your priest is a man cat?
Oh my God.
Yeah,
he's
dude,
a cat,
he's a priest.
Man!
Apparently satisfied, the priest came back out to tell me he had 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. And then he flattened his ears against the side of his head and sprinted off. He was never seen again. Oh yeah, I was falling. My head hit the rough gravel surface of the alley. Hard, like my penis every morning. The hit jolted me back into the world. The homeless fella down the alley let loose a little pee in concern, so I tinkled in my trousers reassuringly to let him know I was fine.
Like you do.
I stood, brushed the dirt off my pants, and relit my smoke. Before I knew where I was, Verletta appeared in my hand and pointed herself at the chest on the ground, eager to exact a little sweet justice in these lawless days. Time was when strange alley chests wouldn't make you black out when you opened them to look inside. But those days are gone. I squeezed back halfway on the trigger, riding the fine line between life and death like every band member of the Rolling Stones.
Except Keith Richards, who cannot die no matter what.
That's true.
But still walk the fine line.
My finger throbbed as it pressed into the cool steel. Easy there, girl, I said to my beloved as I took my finger off the trigger. What was the point in taking another life? If I plugged this chest, another one would just climb up the ranks and take its place. There's no room for an honest little dick like myself to riddle things full of holes anymore. A lone saxophone wailed in the distance, matching my mood. I walked up to the chest once again and squinted through the dark to see what lay inside. It was an old, ornate wooden headdress, colorfully adorned with intricate carvings of men fighting strange beasts, blood-coated raven feathers poking out of the top, and steel spikes protruding from the eyes. The mouth was lined with sharp, crooked spikes that looked as if they'd bitten through thousands of bones. A clasped leather strap with the word SAVAGE, crudely carved into it, wound around the back. My peener burst out of my trousers like in that famous scene from the movie Alien and began to make pointing motion down towards the masks. Should I touch it? Do I dare put it on? The mask had an aura about it, a strange colorless glow, and it appeared to hum with energy. The longer it held my gaze, the darker my thoughts became. After a few moments of debate, my erection bent in half to stare me down, and the pee hole winked as if to say everything would be all right.
That thought is horrifying. Just gonna put it out there. That's fucking horrifying.
If nothing else, you should definitely listen to your own winking pee hole.
No pee holes. Absolutely. Never wink, ever. Absolutely. If your pee hole is winking, see a doctor. Public service announcement.
I smiled and petted the little fella, gave it a sip of my drink, and tucked him back away where he'd be safe and warm.
Ew.
Verletta once...
That's
like
just ew.
I can't even keep going. Okay. Oh, shit.
You should not give your pee hole a sip of drink.
especially after
it winks at you.
I don't know.
Maybe you might want to if it winks at you.
If your own dick winks at you,
he's probably thirsty.
It might murder you if you don't give it a drink.
That's true.
Thirsty little guy. Verletta once again appeared in my hand as I reached in with the left to grab the ominous mask. Only the mask reached up to grab me. Somehow the strange artifact was instantly upon my head and blocking out all my senses. I reached behind my head to pull the mask off, but the clasps were secure and it wouldn't budge. Instinctively, I raised my flask to my lips for a draft of tasty fuck buddy, but the mouth of the mask blocked the flow. Panic raced through me like a herd of dildos sprinting through a vagina field.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is the perfect description. It's the perfect description.
It's a powerful visual, isn't it?
Basically.
My hearing was gone. Now I couldn't laugh at my own thoughts. My sight was too. It never really helped me aim my piss into that tricky old toilet bowl anyways, now did it. But my booze, my only constant in life, the only one who could help me through these wacky days in a workaday world. My late-night sexual companion and semen extractor. Oh, no. Pardon my language, doll, but no fucking dice. I could feel my heart pounding into the sides of my head like those times in my youth Uncle Bob and I played Hide the Weasel in the Dark.
No.
Keep your head still, he'd say while tying on a blindfold and unzipping something. To this day, I can't figure out what he was doing, because it was so damn dark in that barn. But I still have the bruises and a chipped tooth as testament to the fun times we used to have together.
You still have the bruises, like, yeah. 20 years later?
You should see a doctor, dude. You have the blood problem.
Yeah, dude. Some seriously deep concussive wounds. Detective? A small voice stabbed through my thoughts. Are you there, sweetie boots? It was that Jane. What was her name? Mammary Wagon? Old Snapper Thighs? No. Gangster's Paradise by Coolio featuring Nate Dogg for some reason?
Yep, that's it.
Definitely.
That was probably the name. It's me. It's me, honey. Carmen. The dame's sweet, silky voice tapered off to a point like Uncle Bob's member after his penis-sharpening augmentation surgery.
Why? Uncle Bob is fucking
weird. Yeah, Uncle Bob is fucking
weird. And that's a different story.
He needs a side story, I think, is what's going to happen. Yes. I could feel the mask ratcheting down on my head, tighter and tighter. So tight I thought my girly gawker would pop like a pimple on the ass of a red-headed stepchild goat-walrus hybrid creature thing. Did you follow that? I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, I did. And
that's
I was horrified.
That's a low fucking creature right there.
I was making a lot of horrified faces. Oh, wow. Ew.
As the pain rose, that lonely saxophone got loud as shit. I could take no more. I pulled out Verletta and let her play, squeezing loose the full barrel towards that damned instrument. The tinny wail ended in an epic crescendo and died out with one last honk. No one ever heard that saxophone again. I realized after I shot my load, both literally and figuratively, that the pain from the mask had subsided and I'd regained a small amount of my senses. I could hear muffled sounds, and my vision, while limited and coated in a red hue, it was back. I had a hunch like my ex-wife's, small at first, and then ever more imposing and covered in a fine layer of peach fuzz. I reached down and plucked out the stiletto I hid in my boot and stabbed myself in the thigh. A brief shot of pain sprung up, but it was truncated by the mask before I registered the pain. I stabbed repeatedly, and the mask began to fully restore my sight and hearing, even beyond normal capacities. I could hear the homeless fella breathing, and further pursuing his dream of having pants made entirely out of human excrement.
Who doesn't dream of that?
I know, man.
You gotta have goals.
He's living it.
Living the dream.
I could hear the blood leaking out of the throat of that lone saxophonist. I could see straight through the walls of the shabby shanties lying in the alley, and straight through my trousers to my now limp peener. More important than any of this, though, was that the mouth of the mask had opened just enough to slide the port of my flask in, allowing me to slam back slug after slug of heavenly syrup. My detectivizing skills revved into action, and I deductitized that committing adrenaline-fueled gory acts of violence returned brief moments of control over the mask somehow. Of course, the carving on the head strap, savage, just like we studied in detective school.
Naturally.
Mr. Wankbottom always said that the wooden mask hidden in chests in alleyways contained strange and mystical powers. Bingo, I thought to myself, much as I always do. Since I can't really think to anyone else, wacky-ass English language. Instantly, I don't know why I wrote that. Instantly, Verletta appeared in my hand and I shot off another round, this time toward where I'm assuming the English language was standing. Because that's a thing. I don't...
Goddamn pronunciation.
I like it.
My senses heightened. It all made sense. Unlike my priest, every time he yammered on about that strange robed fella floating around somewhere in the sky that he called God. Every time I turned my head to the sky above, bet you didn't see that one coming. Detective Dick Detective Smith is an atheist. I said to an unseen audience I figured was listening in and watching my every move inside their own heads. Don't judge me, or I'll send you down the river. You see, every flatfoot has a skill set of reason that's incapable of solving the convoluted puzzle that is contrived organized religious belief. I preached more fervently. Inertia is a property of matter. Science rules.
Oh Bill, my God.
Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill Nye the Science Guy. Thanks, Nick.
Damn right. Yeah.
Satanic.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Two-part harmony.
Whoa, I'm not sure what happened just then. But in response, my boner ripped another hole through my trousers. And this time, he could not be coaxed back into his home. I shrugged it off as required by the detective-cratic oath I took when I graduated.
I like that. The detective.
My ears picked up a small shuffle of heeled leather stiletto shoes, and I turned my head back down the alley, just to see just the finest set of magnificent nipple pillows and skirt loins swaying towards me. Thanks to the mask, I could even hear those plump thigh muffins grinding against each other with each step. I'm trying to make the noise.
Yeah.
Can you hear it?
No, yeah. Probably.
I was imagining sandpaper crack. Scraping the
I other. Think
yes, that's what I was visualizing.
That's what
we need a Foley artist, I think.
Like sandpaper?
Well, with the amplitude of the mask.
I
think Jesse's was pretty good. But not quite sandpapery. Anyway, continue.
We'll figure this out in,
yes, we do need
we'll figure this Foley out in post. Artist.
The world may never know. It was old Sugar Smacks, and the dame was smoking. Hotter than ever. As she drew nearer, her seductive walking slowed to a stop. Apparently, she'd never seen a man perforated with self-inflicted stab wounds sporting a raging science boner, which involuntarily slapped against his belly, all topped off with a frightening demonic mass that glowed red with power.
As every woman should before she gets married.
Or ever, before she lives.
I can't believe she hasn't seen that. It's ridiculous. I thought of poor Aunt Millie again. Silly dames and their weak constitutions. Hey, lamb chop, I yelled. What's the matter? Cat priest got your tongue? I could see her trembling. God damn it. I could see her trembling in the cold and dreary night, like the last frail leaf on a tree hanging on by a thread. A lone trumpet had begun to play in the distance. I reassured Verletta we'd kill that asshole later. I walked up to see the Jane and could see that she was not only shaking, but her eyes were filled to the brim with tears.
Whoa.
Oh, wait. Whoops. I almost did the lady voice. I was supposed to do the guy. Sorry. We'll edit that in post, right?
Wait, we have a post?
Leave it in. Leave it in.
Post, we'll do it.
What's the matter? What's the matter, Candy? I don't know
we'll
who
do
that
it
was.
In post.
And his name is Post.
There's a fourth member who sounds like a total douche. Leave it in.
He's going to get raw end of the deal. Continue. All right.
Anyway.
Oh, boy. Okay. She was not only shaking, but her eyes were filled to the brim with tears. What's the matter, Candy Yam McHumbertons? Haven't you ever seen a man perforated with self-inflicted stab wounds, sporting a raging science boner, which involuntarily slapped against his belly, all topped off with a frightening demonic mass and glowed red with power?
Anyway, continue.
It's not that. The mask. I've seen that mask before, Mr. Detective Smith, and I know what it does. I know everything about that mask.
She stammered and trailed off, pale-faced and expressionless.
That mask was my father's.
Dot.
Holy shit balls.
Oh my God.
I didn't end it. I'm
that's
afraid.
Okay, because so we I were just so talking sorry. About that. Holy shit.
I'm going to go ahead and Woo. Stop the recording as soon as I can get my computer.
Why would you do that?
So that we can have a post.
Yammer. Yeah.
the land of thanks you for wasting your time listening to this shit. Your mother would be very proud of your perseverance. Be sure to maintain a tight grip on your genitals until next time. Jesse, Mel, and Nick will be back again soon to take up PP in your ear holes. It's the mother humping land of.